Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, I covet for you a little experience that I had a few years ago. I read a book that completely opened my eyes to see the world as I had never seen it before. That book was written by Charles Colson, and it was called How Now Shall We Live? Now, beforehand, I had understood the Christian life to be primarily about getting a place in heaven when you die. Now, don't get me wrong, that is eternally important. I haven't let go of that. But Colson's book introduced me to the whole idea of the Christian worldview, the idea that God is concerned with the whole of life right now and has much to say about business and politics and art and music and sport and marriage and the environment and everything else, not just simply about getting to heaven when you die. Here's a question for you. How do you interpret what you see? Why is there beauty in the world? Why is there evil? Why is there suffering in the world as well? Why do we long for relationship? Why do we dream of a perfect world? All of those questions and more can actually be understood through a Christian view of the world. Michael Goheen is the co-author of Living at the Crossroads, An Introduction to Christian Worldview. It's a very, very good book. And he's going to be joining us over the next few weeks to give us new glasses to see the world through, I guess. Michael, welcome to Australia and welcome to Open House.
Thank you.
Home is Canada?
Home is in Canada, yes.
In beautiful parts of Canada, that's for sure. Is our beauty measure up?
Well, I live in Vancouver, and it's an awfully beautiful city.
It is.
But we don't have the nice weather you have.
Yeah, okay. All right, we beat you there.
This is your winter.
Yes.
This is 20 degrees in the middle of your winter. We like 20 degrees in the middle of our summer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good to have you here, and congratulations on this book. It's really a great primer
Thank
on
you.
Just opening our eyes to everything that God is doing. How has this understanding of the Christian worldview changed your approach to your Christian faith? Because I know it has.
Yeah. I grew up in a Baptist home, and basically my understanding of the gospel is quite narrow. It was a matter of Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. And because he died for my sins, if I believed in him, I would have eternal life, and I defined eternal life very much as life in an otherworldly place called heaven. Mm. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of very important things from that tradition that I'm still deeply, deeply thankful for. Mm. For example, the fact that you believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, simply the authority of Scripture. In that tradition, we were taught to pray. We were taught the importance of communing with God in prayer, talking to God. Evangelizing, talking to people about the good news, individual morality, the importance of not lying, not stealing, those kinds of things. I'm deeply grateful for those things, but that's really not what the gospel was first and foremost all about. When Jesus first announced good news, the gospel, if we want to know what that means, we have to go back to the Bible and ask. And quite frankly, I was understanding gospel in a very narrow, very individualistic, very otherworldly, very future sense. And even though there was a lot of truth in that, Jesus did die for my sin, I realized that that was just far too narrow and maybe perhaps even quite egocentric, very centered around myself. It's not me that's at the center, it's God himself. And so for things like sport, for example, I was a very good athlete in high school and I love sport. How can I understand sport in the context of the gospel? How can I understand sport in the context of the Christian worldview? Well, quite frankly, I adopted a pretty low view of sport and say, well, you have the things that I can entertain myself with, there are more important things. But quite frankly, I loved it. And my own approach was, is there any better way of understanding this? But coming to the point of seeing the gospel in a new way and starting to open up an understanding of the Christian faith as a view of God's whole world and understand that every aspect of this world is part of God's creation. Understanding that every dimension of this has been created by God and that he is Lord over all. I started realizing the gospel, the Christian life, is a whole lot bigger, a whole lot bigger than simply individual morality, as important as that is.
So let's get a couple of definitions, and we'll actually guide us over the next few weeks. So we've already mentioned a couple there. One is the kingdom of God, and the other one is the gospel. Now, define those things for us in, I guess, layman's terms. This phrase, the kingdom of God, and then the word, the gospel.
Why don't I go the other way around? Because Jesus' first words were good news, the kingdom has come. So starting with gospel, that word simply means good news. When I was about 28, 29 years ago, my wife went into labor with our first child, and there was immediately something went wrong. We didn't know what it was. The doctor called another doctor. They panicked. They really knew something was wrong. They grabbed my wife, threw her on a bed, well, gently put her on a bed and on wheels, and took off down the hall to surgery. They told me just go wait in the hall. Didn't help me at all. I tell you, it was a torturous 15 minutes for me, wondering, I've been married a year and a half. What's happening to my wife? What's gone wrong? 15 minutes later or so, seemed like an eternity, the nurse comes walking down with a little incubator. And in this little incubator is this tiny baby girl. And the nurse walks up to me and says, "Are you Mr. Goheen?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Good news. Your wife is fine, and here's your healthy baby daughter." In the waiting room, you would not believe what good news that was. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I tell that story is about 200 or so years before Jesus, there was a similar story where a guy was walking up and down in a living room waiting for his wife to deliver. There's a problem. The midwife, after the big problem, he thinks he's going to lose his wife and his child. The midwife breaks through into the living room and says, "Good news. Your wife is fine, and you got a baby son." And the word he uses, he was in a Greek city-state, and it was used 200 years before Jesus. The word the midwife uses is euangelion, from which we get our word evangelical, from which we get our word evangelism. The Christians would know those words. Euangelion is not about doctrine. It's not about something theological. It was good news. And Jesus uses the identical words in Mark 1 when he says, "Good news." Mm-hmm. So when we hear good news, or the old English version of that gospel, we often think of theology, doctrine, something religious. When Jesus said it, he was using the terminology of the day, good news. Mm. To go into your second question, he says, good news, the kingdom of God has come. What is the kingdom? A lot of debate over the last century over the nature of the kingdom. But the interesting thing was, Jesus does not stop and define the kingdom. He doesn't say, "Good news, the kingdom has come. Oh, let me tell you what the kingdom is. Let me give you a nice working definition of the kingdom so you know what I'm talking about." Mm. He assumed that everybody knew what the kingdom was. And in fact, the better you understand the period leading up to Jesus, the 100 years, 200, actually maybe 200-300 years leading up to Jesus, the more you realize that every Jew was looking for the kingdom. They understood different things by what the Messiah would look like. How many messiahs there would be, 1, 2, 3, whether it would be a priest and a king. They were trying to figure that out, how to live until the kingdom comes, how it would come. Would it come immediately? Would it come over time? Would it come violently? Would it come through God simply speaking? They disagreed on these things and literally killed each other over these things, but they all agreed that the kingdom was coming. And so maybe a basic starting definition of what they all would have agreed on, and that Jesus, when Jesus speaks, would be something like this. Good news. God is coming back, breaking, as it were, back into history. Not that he'd ever left. But God is coming back, and he's coming back in power, and he's coming back in love to restore the entirety of the creation and the entirety of human life to again live under his rule. Or put again simply, God is becoming king again. In the same way he was king in Genesis 1 and ruled, now Paul can speak of Satan being the god of this world. 1 John can speak of the world being under the spell of the evil one. The good news is God is exerting power to take back his creation so that all of human life and all of creation will again live under his rule. And so we can say, for example, in Matthew 12, "If I have the power to cast out demons," that is the power of evil, "by the Spirit of God, the kingdom's come upon you." God's power is now at work and evident in the world to restore all of creation and all of human life to again live under his rule. If that's true, And of course, you always have the choice to believe or not to believe somebody's testimony. And if this is true, if we believe that testimony, this is not about something small called spirituality or religion. This is CNN front page news. Mm-hmm. This is about what God is doing for the whole world. This is true for everybody at all places in all times. And if this is true, then again, you can reject that. You can say what Jesus was saying was nonsense. But if it's good, what he's saying is God is doing something in the world to heal it, to fix it, to liberate it, to restore it to again what he meant it to be in the beginning, his very good creation. So the good news is God's coming back in love and power, and he is restoring the whole creation to be again be what it was meant to be. So that's how I understand gospel, and that's how I understand kingdom, a restoration of God's rule.
Michael Goheen is with us on Open House across the nation. We're talking about this idea of the Christian worldview, that there is a kind of a set of lenses you can put on, a set of glasses that actually help you to interpret the world around you, to interpret life, because you're actually part of a big story, a big narrative that God is actually weaving and writing as time goes on. Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast, if you'd like to take a second listen or pass it on to a friend. So with those two things in place now, the gospel and the kingdom of God, before we then work into the traditional understanding of the Christian worldview, which is often centered on three words, creation, fall, redemption.
Right.
God created the world, it fell because of human sin, and now he's at work redeeming it, recreating it, rebuilding it. Before we go there, though, and I like the way you do this in your book, you talk about the God who creates. You talk about the nature of God. If we actually get this wrong from the beginning, then all the rest actually starts to unravel.
Right.
Let's explore this God. Let's explore the very nature of this God who is the one who creates and the one who then is redeeming.
Right. Where you start with this question is a very interesting one. I believe Christians must start with the gospel itself. Take John, the book of John, where Jesus says, he's speaking to his disciples, and he says, you're going to know the Father. And the disciples get all excited and say, oh boy, we want to see the Father. Show us the Father. And it's like Jesus holds his head and says, how long have I been with you, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the fullest revelation of what God is. So a Christian understanding of God starts by looking at the person of Jesus. But then you look at Jesus, he called someone Father and spoke to the Father in intimacy, which he was one, and then would also pour out the Spirit later when he says, I will give you another comforter. And so a Christian understanding of God says, here's Jesus, the fullest revelation of God, speaking to the Father, pouring out his Spirit. This God is triune. And of course, that can become very abstract, and it can just make your mind go numb trying to think about it. But what is being said in triune God is fundamentally so important for our lives to know that in a person, in history, the person of Jesus Christ, he accomplished this salvation. But this salvation comes as the Father has sent him to make known and to accomplish that salvation. And now the presence of God's Holy Spirit brings that salvation to us. It's not simply some abstract formula. It's the God we come to know and the God we come to love. And so who is this God? Starting with Christ, we come to know as we see him calm the waves that he is a God of power. We see him as he heals the sick and loves the needy, that he's a God of love. We see that he's a God who is faithful to the promises that he made a long time ago, that he has been, in spite of our sin, has continued on. In other words, you start to look at this Jesus and you begin to see the character of God unfold in this full revelation of God. And so this is not a God who's absent. Matter of fact, part of the biggest problem we have in our scientific world is that most of us as Christians, even, that we don't believe what Paul said in the book of Acts when he says, in him we live and move and have our being.
We have this distant God, don't we? This kind of deistic God who intervenes every now and then.
Exactly. And even our understanding of something like a miracle is God intervening and doing this here, rather than God being fully present. And when we see in the book of Psalms, when we see the animal being fed, we see God at work. In other words, seeing this as John Calvin put it, as a theater of God's glory, that God is just present in the entire creation, distinct from, over the creation, but very fully present in it. And from the beginning, wanted human beings to live in his world, delighting in his creation in fellowship with him at all times. But now, because science has had such power and science has created this box, this nexus of cause and effect relations, this enclosed box, we as Christians kind of think of God as outside of that box. Well, in fact, God is transcendent in that he's over the creation, but he's also very much in. Yeah. He is very much present in the creation. Yeah. And knowing that God, this God is one who loves us in Jesus and by the Spirit that is present, is to know the God of the Bible. It's not the God who is distant. It's not the God who is simply enclosed in creation. It's the God over creation, but a God who created all things, a God who's ruling all of history. It's a God who's upholding it all things moment by moment. It's a God who will stand at the end of history as judge, and the God who's going to restore all things in the end. Mm. It's a God who's very much to be reckoned with. And so a person who once said to me on a plane, "I'm glad that Christianity is working for you," is not the kind of thing that can be said. I mean, you can say that in our culture, but to take the biblical story, to take the biblical view of God, it is a God who all must come to reckon with, because he is creator of all things, because he's ruler of history, because he's the final judge and the redeemer.
Well, with that foundation, the next few weeks we're going to do that. Look at creation. The creator you've just described actually makes, and then the fall, how we kind of destroy it, and then the redemption that he's bringing, that he's working out through Jesus over time. All right. Fascinating. Talk to you in a week's time. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
Michael Goheen, who is the co-author of Living at the Crossroads, An Introduction to Christian Worldview. Don't miss next week. We'll explore the creation and just why it is the way it is.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.